With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, hello there, everyone. Everyone? I don't know, this can't be everyone. 7 billion people aren't listening to this right now. Or are they? Are we at 7 billion yet? I feel like we are, as a planet. I feel like we've done a lot of fucking and made other humans. It's a weird idea, that, isn't it? That just jamming your genitals together would then create another human. Through friction, I think, is how it works. I don't know. I didn't really get a lot of sex education. But I'm assuming it's some sort of friction thing, like a spark that fires off and then spontaneously turns into a human. I think that's correct. But hopefully today's guest will be able to correct us on that, because they work with sex. They are a pornographer, a writer, a model, an actress, I'm missing something. Oh, a sex advice columnist, which would be someone you could ask how babies are made. I'm fairly sure she's probably been asked that before, so she'll have some sort of stock standard answer for that. But yes, today it's Stoya. We met up when I was over in New York for my anniversary, which is just a really... You know, me just showing off that I went to New York for my anniversary, ate really good food, and walked. And, Oh, and then got really sick, which is always good. So Andrea had to just then waste 3 days of the trip checking that I hadn't died yet. I feel bad for the girl, to be fair. Well, I feel bad for her anyway. She suffers me. But... also suffering me with how do I say this politely, with stuff coming out of both ends. So this is going to be done in two parts. Stoya's done so much stuff and there was so much to talk about that I think it makes more sense to break it down into two chunks. So the first part, this part, we're going to talk about sex in this part we're going to talk about sex education, her advice column with Slate, Zero Spaces, which is a media project about around sex, still pornographic but also cerebral and hard to describe. Just go to zerospaces.com and you can just go there and go, oh, this is what it is. Dan didn't explain that very well. We also talk a little about her book, Philosophy, Pussycats and Porn, which you can get at all good bookshops. But if you search out Stoya's Big Cartel page, you can buy signed copies on there. I didn't actually Google that before saying this, so they might be sold out. Or you could be really far in the future, so they're definitely sold out. We also talk about writing in general, so you can check out Stoya's writing at hellostoya.com. In part two, we focus a lot more on other creative endeavors, like her acting. But I'm not going to spoil all that now. You'll just have to wait till part two to hear about part two. Now we're talking about part one. Stop being so damn impatient, people. I think I've plugged everything I wanted to plug for her. I'll plug it all again next week, hey? Hey? And yeah, these will be a week apart, not our normal fortnightly. So hopefully you won't have forgotten what went on. I'm not going to give you a recap next week. I'm not that kind. These intros are getting... I can't decide if these intros are getting just unbearably rambly or maybe air quotes charming. But this is how they're going to be. There's enough plugging of what's coming up, and there's enough plugging of hellostoya.com, zerospaces.com, and the book. Now I have to plug me, you know, guys. Music, danielsack.bandcamp.com is on. You can hear it right now. It's very good. You should buy it or just take it for free. It's pay what you want. Also, patreon.com/danielsack if you want to support the podcast. Basically, money, yeah, as a concept, not sure if you know it, but you earn money by doing things, and then you spend that money to eat things. Yeah? Like, I know it's a complex concept and stuff and all that. Don't ask me about blockchain. That's a different thing entirely. That's like made-up money to eat made-up food, I think. Not sure. But yeah, patreon.com/danielsack if you want to give me money. Because you're enjoying it. Because I'm improving your life. I got excited there. I got a little too excited, to be fair. But yeah, let's get on with it. And then I'll talk to you again in about 60 minutes or so. How's that sound? Yeah? Go ahead. Enjoy. Enjoy.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
No, I think every podcast starts with me hitting record and saying, there's no intro.
Okay.
Which has now become, I suppose, its intro.
Okay.
Me just saying, yeah, I don't do an intro. Why would I tell you who you were? You
know? Because maybe they want to know. Hi, I'm Stoya. I work with sex a lot in various forms. And I'm here to do a podcast today.
Perfect. We're done. That's Yay. All we need. Right, I'm done. I'll just edit other interviews that make you sound racist. That's going to be great. But, like, you work with sex, but you're at, like, a intersection between pornographer, actress, writer. You're a fleshed-out version of sex. It's not just banging. There is actually discussion of sex.
Yes,
Put in context.
So I was a performer in front of the camera for about 12 years. I consider myself retired now, but I'll still do things for my own project every once in a while, zerospaces.com. Sometimes, like, I'm sure that one day someone's going to come to me with, like, the perfect offer, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll go get tested. Let's do this.
Yeah.
but I don't consider myself an active performer anymore in that, like, I'm not really qualified to comment on what working conditions are like at the core of the adult industry anymore. I don't know.
It seems like it's changed dramatically in the time you were in the industry.
Porn just moves quickly. Like, the turnaround time for most companies between shooting a scene and releasing a scene is, like, so short. Like, you see a behind-the-scenes picture on Twitter, and, like, a week later, like, there's the scene. So things can adapt really quickly. And I think I think the adult industry goes through trends more quickly than mainstream. Like, mainstream films, we've seen this, like, total takeover of superhero stuff, but it's taken 10 years. Yeah. Porn had its superhero phase. It had its oil phase. Now it's in some weird, like, faux incest phase that I just cannot stomach. Like, it squicks me out.
It's really odd at the moment. Like, especially as there's talk about the business of it, really, that we're in this tube site version of what pornography is.
Yeah.
Yet the tube sites, in my mind, are like Spotify. They're this algorithmically driven version, but they're always self-fulfilling. So instead of, I don't know, going into a record shop and someone handing you this bespoke bit of porn they know you're going to like, what you're getting is this general, oh, well, everyone else is watching this, so you'll like it too.
Version. Right, which then, especially with people who don't have a fully formed sexuality yet, they go after, like, they respond to what they're fed, and then they look for more of that.
Yeah.
So we kind of, like, you know, ideally, people are able to explore with some degree of autonomy, and while they technically could, the way the tube sites operate, it's, like, against exploration and for zeroing in on your six keywords that, like, give you exactly what you want. So it's, like, schoolgirl, anal, brunette, rough, and then, like...
But that's the thing as well. Like, when I'm going to link everything back to music because I can do that. That's what I do in life anyway. But, like, with music, we genrefy. Mm-hmm. We put things into these boxes that get more and more deep and narrow. So, like, you can have electro, but that can lead into now wave and vapor wave and disco, not disco. But porn, because of the way the tube sites work, you only get that top line genre, which has got to be frustrating because
you get the most, like, raw and vaguely misogynistic. And it's, like, a special, like, it's, like, 3/4 of the way to misogyny. Like, it's not, like, full on. Like, you're not, like, wow, I'm, like, watching a rape.
But
you're, like,
yeah,
everything's a bit uncomfortable. Which I must say, sometimes the feminists have a point. And if all they're looking at is what pops up on the first page of Google when you type in porn, I see their point. There's a lot of great stuff, like Shine Louise Houston, Erica Lust, Toby Holmeyer, like, Courtney Trouble at Trouble Films has an eye for picking up, like, new voices in the space. But they don't get the same amount of coverage that Pornhub does. So people go to Pornhub and they walk away thinking that that's all that porn is. So they're missing all this great stuff.
And because of, it was a burp there. That was classy. Let's just do that. Just do a burp. Because of how good the tube sites are at manipulating the search engine optimization, or link juice, as it's being called at the moment, like bin juice.
That's horrifying.
Pretty
That's
much.
That's really gross.
Yeah. Well, it's the internet.
I just took a bath this morning. I washed my hair. It's still wet. I feel like I need another shower after link juice.
We had the most awkward shower. No, not to digress, but the hotel shower has one of those. It's not like a mixer tap. It just has a temperature gauge, but that temperature gauge had no relation to the temperature of the thing, so it would not get less than scalding. So Andrew wanted to wash her hair, so she's, like, bobbing in like a chicken, getting her hair wet, shampooing, and then I'm going over to the sink with a bin, filling it up with lukewarm water. Are you ready? There we go. and then just dodging our genitalia into the water.
Oh, God.
It was a good day. It was a good start to the day.
Nobody told me that those, like, tiny efficiency showers in Europe, you have to turn the water off in between. You can't just, like, leave it run. There was a month-long trip in Europe where I flooded three separate bathrooms. I felt like such an asshole. And, like, it's all Airbnb, so there's no one you can call to be like, I need some help. Like, it's just, like, you're, like, mopping up water with the towels. Jesus Christ. I do want to go back to my history with sexuality, though. What's taking up my time now is all this really interesting stuff. Like, there's a sex literature focused book club that I run in Gowanus
once a month.
Yeah, third Sunday of every month. And so we get people in to talk about, we use one specific book as kind of a lens to talk about modern sexuality. So we're like having these conversations in a room with each other.
Are the book choices focused in modern, or are you using older books?
We use as a whole range.
Juxtaposition?
We've done everything from Story of the Eye through to, like, Laura Antonio's super sex positive BDSM work. This year we're including Song of Songs from the Bible.
Okay.
It's like, for that time, practically pornographic.
Yeah.
And it's short. Like, it's not like I'm asking people to read, like, the whole gospel or something. Or the begats in Genesis. Like, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ask anyone to do that.
Oh, my God. How are you finding that from the point of view of, like, you obviously were discussing sex from an early age. Mm-hmm. Because you're... obviously, I've done vague research. Obviously, your mum was quite feminist.
Mom was pretty feminist. Mostly, my parents let me read literally whatever I wanted to. So, in with all the science fiction and the biographies and the history books was books about sex.
Yeah.
So then I accidentally, and it was truly the blind leading the blind, but, like, I was the person people would come to when I was a teenager, like peers. They would go, like, oh, my God, my period's late. What do I do? And I'd have to get in there and be like, well, you know, sometimes that's the thing that happens.
That's a thing.
Have you done anything where you might have gotten you went swimming with someone. No, that's not how that works.
That's not going
to
happen.
Like, okay, you just need to, like, remain calm for a couple weeks. Like, maybe take a pregnancy test after then.
Yeah.
Like, which was just such a mess and, like, really tells you about the state of sexual education in America at the time.
Yeah, this is something I thought we would probably get to at some point, but how... UK sex education is better than it is in the States, but it's still very much leans harder into prevention of sex than it does safe sex, and it doesn't ever talk about any LGBT sex at all. There's no, we're currently having problems at the moment where schools are, parents are pulling kids out of schools. Especially in fairly religious communities, because they've started talking about sometimes a man loves a man.
Okay.
Without any actual sex involved, just literally relate the relationship between two men. So we could be doing better. You've got all this access to the internet. Like, I can't imagine if I was 13, obviously I'm 40 years old, so I got my sex education off rumor and graffiti, essentially. But... like, I can't imagine now where you've got this being confronted by the extremity of some porn at the same time as nothing to explain that to you without context.
I mean, so, like, I've engineered my whole life to stay the hell away from kids, right? I do have a couple of friends now who've had babies, so, like, I've interacted with infants.
You have to look at them occasionally.
Yeah, you're like, oh, so cute. Or, like, yes, I guess I'll hold this tiny creature and feel very nervous because it is tiny and delicate.
Yeah.
But, like, I was focused on pornography for a number of years, which is a continuous effort to avoid minors.
Yeah.
Like, we ID them at shows. Like, you go to a convention and you know that anyone who comes in the door is above the age of 18, and, like, so I don't actually know what kids are doing, but I just have this feeling, because I've heard, there was literally one radio show where they played me a clip of a teenager saying, I'm a teenager and I learned about sex from porn. Mm. And I'm like, okay, this is all messed up. Personally, I think we ought to force the tube sites to require actual age verification. Mm-hmm. To me, the act of payment, like, provides a certain amount of protection.
Well, that's what the UK is about, although they've delayed it a couple of times. I think maybe it's right now, it's this week or next week, that the tube sites have to provide age verification.
So now MindGeek, the company that owns Pornhub and yeah. most of the tube sites, how do we think it's ethical or appropriate for them to be providing the verification? Like, no. No, so absolutely not. I call bullshit.
We got three companies doing it. They're the ones who have the most of the... So they're running Age ID. Mm-hmm. I think they're running some of the... So you can go into a news agent's liquor store or whatever and buy a card to yeah. prove. But they're running some of those as well. And, like, I'm sorry. I bought cigarettes underage. I bought alcohol underage. Yeah.
I was 13, looking at porn, scamming people into buying me cigarettes, and sneaking booze out of my parents' liquor cabinet, and replacing the whiskey with water plus food coloring so it was the right color. Like,
yeah.
I know how you sneak into things, and so I'm like...
Like, and a tech-savvy kid, it's like three Google. It's one Google search and three clicks, and you're around it already. You've got a yeah. VPN.
VPN. You look like a U.S. citizen. Yeah. You're using Pornhub like a U.S. citizen. You're being exposed to all sorts of things that you don't have the emotional maturity to understand. Mm. Like, BDSM is really confusing for people that don't know what's happening.
Well, the thing about, like, if you look at a website like kink.com, mm-hmm. who they used to, I don't know that they do it anymore, but they used to, you would have the scene, but you would also have a conversation.
You would have a pre-scene video that shows the negotiation consent. And the consent, and then you would have a post-scene video, and partially that post-scene video helps to make it clear that, like, this was a fantasy that everyone agreed to play out. Mm. It also does a really important thing, which is show aftercare. Like, aftercare is really when you take yourself, like, so far out of reality and have a really intense experience, having almost a ritual of returning to normal is really helpful. I've been through some therapy. Been through some therapy about some hard stuff. And the sessions where we were addressing the hard stuff, there was a ritual at the end. Mm. Like, you, like, go into the hard thing, do the work, and then, like, the last 10 minutes are about bringing you back to the present moment, making sure you feel, like, solidly within your own body.
Obviously, everyone who listens to this knows I've had a lot of counseling, and I was always really impressed at how my counselor just guided it back, like, without ever looking at a watch. She just had the rhythm to, right, we've gone as far as we can get into this, and just guide you back without ever even realizing that I was being brought back in the room as such. It's a skill. And, yeah, it's one of those things, like, in my fantasy brain, it's like, I'd love to do that for a living. But all I know is that I'd get into the conversation and be like, really? Oh, my God, what a bastard. I can't believe he did that.
I'm actually, there's a program called Peer Specialists, and it's, you only need a high school diploma for it. They use people who've been through their own mental health recovery process to provide services that, like, you don't need an LCSW to provide. And I went through the training for it. I'm waiting to hear back about my application. I was really honest, so I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. But that's a weird state of affairs, like, when we're honest and that makes us worry.
Who's your employer? And I'm like, self, Stoya Inc. Oh, boy. Like, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's training that counselors take to be better at active listening and to ask more useful questions, which is really cool.
Yeah, knowing the question to ask. I think this isn't very much unlike therapy, but I'm we're what, you'd be the 11th one I've done, and the amount of times that I'll listen back to do the edit and I'm like, why didn't you ask him about Berlin? He said he'd just been living in Berlin. That's a great, look, you idiot. But that one in particular, he's literally talking about having a stress-related breakdown. So I did the right thing, but my brain was like, I know you're in pain at the moment, but Berlin, good city, isn't it? Amazing. Are you like closer to the east? It's great out there. Not too gentrified.
I mean, that's true.
It's the nature of the thing. I think traveling, I know that's completely off the point, but you obviously, you talk about in your book, Eastern Europe a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially being British, when we're getting all this rhetoric about these evil Eastern Europeans coming into our country and all this, yet having been to like Slovakia, Slovenia, Croatia, Hungary, I was only in Hungary for about 3 hours, mm-hmm. but I've been there, and I know then that no, there's very little, the signs look different, but the people are much the same. They still laugh at dick and fart jokes.
They
but you know what I mean? There's not, there's very cultural differences, yet the core of the individuals, it's no different. They want the same things we do. I don't know, it frustrates me.
So I've been to every continent except Antarctica.
Well, you failed.
And I'm looking for a way to go to Antarctica. For like some reason, like really, I want to shoot in Around the World in 80 ways there. I want to masturbate in a snowsuit. I just can't justify the cost of flying me and a camera operator all the way to Antarctica. One day. Zerospaces.com. Give me money. I'll make this happen. But I found, and I haven't been like everywhere. Like there's big chunks of Asia I've never seen. I was only in Moscow for a few days. I've never seen St. Petersburg. Like, South America, I've only seen Porto Alegre, but I've noticed like food at the end of the day, there's some starches, there's some green vegetables, there's some meat, there are like four kinds of meat, and like it's all the same stuff with just like different spices, different preparations, different whatever. And I started to feel very much like the beauty of human diversity is in the individual.
Yeah.
Which fits really well with like being an American growing up with our like individual self-determination. Yeah. Like I'm like, oh, like we all have like these very few basic things to work with. And then what we end up doing with them, whether it's food or our lives, is so varied and diverse and fascinating.
Yeah. 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 We're at a really fortunate time, I suppose, because we get to see the world. Like generation ago, it was far harder to travel. Like I come to America every 8 to 10 weeks to see Andrea. Like, but I remember being a kid and my parents were trying to come to America. We were gonna do a trip to America and it was gonna be thousands, and it's like, oh, can we do this sort of thing? Whereas now I'm like getting the super economy flight with BA. Yes, I fly BA. I'm a patriot.
I fly Air Serbia whenever I can.
Do you?
Yeah.
You got Serbian roots in there as well. A quarter. Yeah. So you get the double whammy of being patriotic as well.
Okay. So it's a two-part
I'm just already
saga.
Excited about what we're going to hear now.
So I had like seen football.
Yep.
Right? Like I'd like been around where a game was on, going like, oh, people are excited about this because this is a thing massive swaths of people get excited about.
The biggest sport in the world.
But I'd never cared really about any sports. Like, I'm like, it's like a miniature war with very low stakes and people get very worked up and like, I just don't understand. And last summer, I'm in Belgrade. I'm at a friend's apartment. And the game comes on and he's like, okay, it's 8 o'clock or whatever. I gotta put the game on. And he's like, those are our guys. And I'm like, who's our guys? And he's like, well, it's the Serbian team playing Switzerland. Yeah. And the Swiss team is a lot of Albanians. So there's some static.
Yeah, yeah.
There have been some gestures made. And I was like, okay. Hey, Pix. Hi.
That's perfect.
We're not gentrified yet.
But we're talking, this would be happening at a football match.
Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, I have a meeting, I gotta go. And I'm walking across Belgrade, and there's this open area with a huge TV screen and all these people watching. And as I'm walking past, out of the corner of my eye, I see the ball go towards the net. And our guy, and in that moment, he is our guy, kicks it back out. And their guy goes like, like aggressively running his fingers through his hair in frustration. And my hand forms a fist and gets all the way up in the air before I'm like, what is happening to me? And I grab it and I put my hand back in my pocket and I'm like, I'm going to think about this later. And the next day I'm with my friend Lazara. She's amazing. She's so like politically astute. And we're talking and she's she goes, you felt patriotism. And I'm like, no, patriotism's like the worst.
Yeah,
and
no.
She's like, no, that's not nationalism. Because I came to her and I'm like, I think I understand a new level of nationalism. And she's like, no, that's patriotism. And I'm like, patriotism is like a bad, like it's a really bad thing. And she goes, no, honey, Bush confused you. He used a good word for a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, okay.
So I've been the whole journey from the airport back to Frederick, I could not stop talking about the flag, the Stars and Stripes. I just, every time I come to America, I really notice just how many flags are there. And obviously you get them outside car dealerships because they're cultivating an identity, mm-hmm. even though it's a Toyota car dealership. We're not really Japanese, honest. You know.
America.
But then you get them on like bridges across freeways where someone has just cable tied a flag to that bridge. That's, you know what I mean? And it's like, there's some, because I come from a country where one of our flags is seen as racist, just the red cross on a white back. The St. George's cross is kind of seen as our, just because a lot of, the English Defence League and the British National Party have all really lent into using the St. George's Cross. And it's because that's the English flag, not the United Kingdom flag. So, like, kind of we don't see that flag as much as we really should. You know, it's not a racist thing. You see it whenever football's on. It's the only time. But because we don't put the flag everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't really think about what that flag means.
You guys put Big Brother's watching you on CCTV signs everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's the same thing happening.
Mm.
Like it's this display of like, like government daddy has an eye on you.
Oh God. And we're the most CCTV, we have the highest CCTV coverage of any country in the world at this point, especially in central London. And it's, it is an odd one. It's there for your safety. Is it though?
Yeah, like,
is it though?
Are we sure about that?
I remember being at a train station and I'd been on a long journey and you're not allowed to smoke at train stations. And I found myself a sneaky corner and having a cigarette and then over the tannoys, I can see you.
Yeah.
You didn't even say no smoking or anything. I can see you. Damn it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about travelling in Europe is you're on a train and people get off the train at the stop. Will smoke for 5-6 minutes mm-hmm. and then get back on the train. But literally every stop, and it's kind of nice social moment. Yeah. Everyone, before they go back to their books, oh, hi, where are you going? Oh, excellent. Yeah, back to your book.
I quit smoking the way I like to tell the story. Natasia Dreams came to shoot for Zero Spaces, and her performance was so good that it cured me of the demon tobacco. But like, really, I've fallen off the wagon numerous times.
Yeah.
Every time. So I'm on this thing called the Juul now.
And they have really strong.
They have the normal like 5%. And I was down to the 3%. And I fell off the wagon and got a pack of the 5% pods. And I'm like, this is so much better than what I used to do, which is get a pack of cigarettes and smoke it all.
What did you smoke before as well?
Parliaments.
Oh, okay. So they're a tasty cigarette anyway.
Very tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I roll my own, so I'm a little, I feel a little less bad, because I can roll the, when
it has less chemicals that way.
Little skinny ones as well, for when I'm feeling guilty.
Yeah.
It's fine. But the only thing that actually makes me, not being able to walk upstairs is fine, I've accepted that. But the dirty fingers is the thing.
Yeah.
If I've been working as well, if I've been like producing or whatever, I'll tend to smoke a little more. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I'll see my fingers and it's like,
you're like, ew.
I went to shoot a video the other day. My porn is a synthesizer on a desk with a camera on it. Okay. You know, I went to shoot one and I'm playing, and then I can't put that out. My fingers look gross. Like, yeah. What? We got completely sidetracked. That's good.
We can go back to the sex advice column, which is the other thing that takes up my time. It's for Slate.
Yeah, how are you finding that? Because, like, you're perfectly positioned to be able to talk about that. But I find some of the questions, like, mildly irritating.
So this is not my first advice column.
Mm.
I had about a year with Refinery 29, and then about a year with The Verge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a few months with an outfit called Bullet that was really cool, but they went out of business.
Which is the way at the moment.
Yeah. So then Slate was like, hey, we're starting a sex advice column. We'd like you to audition.
Mm.
And I sent in my thing, and they were like, okay, we want to pair you with this guy. And I'm like, can I see his answers? And they sent him over, and I'm like, he's brilliant. I love this. And I, you know, after years of freelance writing, I have a contracted position. I'm an independent contractor, but I have paperwork.
Yeah.
Like, they have obligations to me, just like I have obligations to them. And there's an editor who sifts through all the questions.
Okay.
So I don't have to deal with 500 versions of, I saw you told this woman that her bright red labia are probably perfectly fine and normal, but mine are a little bit purple. Am I normal? Because that was Refinery. And also, how can I be squeaky clean for anal? Which is just like, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, it's your rectum. You can't make it squeaky clean. You'll kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like, do not under any circumstances ever involve Lysol on the inside of your body.
Well, people,
like, that's my worry. When people are like, how can I be squeaky clean? I'm like, oh, my, just for the love of God, do not stick anything antibacterial up there.
Like, I think if, like, in a heteronormative relationship, you're going to be doing anal, you just have to accept the idea that there might be poop.
But it's, you're going to poop's house.
Yeah.
Like, he might be home. He might have left some of his stuff laying around.
Yeah, it's, just accept that it might be there and have... maybe you can have a poop safe word if you want.
Yeah.
You know, squeamishness.
I mean, or you can just be like, hey, poop, it's time to stop.
Yeah. Oh, I need the loo all of a sudden.
Yeah, you need the loo.
Yeah.
Because that's real. Let's be real. That's how it happens. Like, your partner's the one who notices first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Like, we in pornography, we can do the really, like, almost grotesque kind of close-up, gapey stuff. The thing, I don't want to see inside for some reason. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but I just don't wink at me.
A little bit of a vertigo
anus
feeling.
Yeah.
Like looking inside a person that way. Like you're like, whoa, am I going to fall in?
Wait, is that your soul?
Basically.
But like, it gives this weird impression. You know, there's, again, we come back to like the idea of context. Like, that I almost, if you're going to have that, this, at least have a conversation at the start. There might be poop. Okay, there might be poop. Excellent.
Or like, both know. There's definitely going to be poop. Let's not do this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also an option.
Must be, I can't imagine, must be weird to have to like time you meet. Right, I'm going to work and that's what's going to be happening. So I need to eat specifically at this time. So
for porn scenes, I can't have coffee that morning.
At all.
So, like, I want to shoot the anal scene in the morning.
Get it done.
But that doesn't necessarily happen, so then I'm just grumpy all day. And I'm 32. I'm going to be 33 in, like, 2 weeks. I'm too old for that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not restricting my food and my coffee intake to do an anal. Like, it's not worth it. I have other things. I can sit at my desk and drink all the coffee I want and answer people's sex questions.
That's, like, yeah. And the coffee's the important thing at the end of the day.
It really is. Priorities, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the questions that my editor sends me are a little annoying sometimes.
Mm.
Like, there's one specifically coming to mind where I was looking at the guy's question, and I was just so certain that he was the problem.
Mm.
And so I said that.
Was this one you shared just recently?
I don't know.
There was one where the guy was like, oh, we've got this really hot relationship, everything, we're so into each other, but how do we keep up the...
Okay, that's a different one. But yeah, with him too, I was like, I'm not hearing anything about what he likes about her as a person.
That was
so
it.
So I don't know if he's... Like, I don't know if there is something there.
Like, because he talked about his last relationship ended because they lost the heat as such and all that. And it's like, but I know nothing about her.
Right. Like I know the sex is hot. That's it.
Which is great. And that could be the... Just those first... few months or weeks of infatuation.
Yeah.
But like, if we don't know who she is, or it just felt really odd. I don't know that I could have a measured response to people. I find it really awkward anyway to not go, you're being ridiculous. Come on.
I've always believed that everyone's the expert on themselves.
Yeah.
And I've always liked this kind of like Socratic method of like, all right, let me ask you a couple of questions and then we'll see if you come up with the answers. And having done the peer specialist training, that's a thing that they've like formalized. Like there's a whole course on asking open-ended questions and actively listening. And so kind of like since then I've become more formal about that with the columns. Like I'm like, okay, like here are your questions, and I am on the right track giving you questions to ask yourself, and so I feel more confident in that. And then, like, here's some fun things that you might not know because maybe you haven't spent most of your 20s completely focused on sex.
Yeah.
So, like, here's a couple tricks. Knock yourself out. Go forth into the world.
Weirdly, that sort of loops back to your writing, that I think a lot of men won't read your book because you're a woman and it's about sex. Yet, in multiple points in your book, you are speaking directly to men in ways that would really help men. Like you talk about turgidity of a penis and its relevance to the sexual experience. It is one of those things. You've got hands. Like,
you've got hands. You've got a mouth. There are toys, like there are all sorts of things.
And like the act of doing something else might be the thing that gets the penis jealous enough to go, hey,
that's exactly, I want to
get involved.
You just have to ignore the penis for like 10 minutes and it comes right back.
But like you talk about that, you talk about size to some extent, and it's, but not just that. I don't want to make the book is collected writings, essays from cerebral discussions of like the semantics of sex through to just raw moments that happened. The war correspondent one really sticks to mind. I think probably sticks to mind because he's British and I'm British, so I'm like, good lads, getting there, doing it for the country, patriotism.
Oh, it pains me so much. There's a part two to that where he embarrassed himself and then asked me not to write about it. And I agreed not to write about it. And so I feel like I also shouldn't talk about it. But it's such a good dude story. Like, it's so educational. I don't know, whatever.
We can hit pause. Because I want to know.
I'll tell you after.
But that's...
Hi, Puff.
She probably smelled Andrea's cat on that bag. Andrea's cat doesn't like me until I've been there for about 12 hours and got some of Andrea's scent on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, then when I go to stroke him, he's like, he thinks at first it's Andrea.
And okay.
Then he's fooled for a second. Then he's like, hang on a minute.
What's going on here?
Your hands don't look right. How was it to... Obviously, like I say, it's collected essays, the book. How was it to go back through and make a selection?
So,
like narrowing down what you want to say.
Yeah. So I have significant ADHD. Like it's enough where once I finally started taking medication for it, if I don't take the medication, I'm like, oh my God, like what is wrong with me? And it's, there is the attention component. It's not named very well. Like the name of it, attention deficit, like doesn't really describe.
Yeah.
The set of issues. One of the things I've noticed with Ritalin in my life is I can actually, like, wrangle things on a medium-sized scale. I'm still, like, a large scale is kind of beyond me. But I wasn't in a place, like, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when we decided to do the book, to impose any sort of structure. I literally wasn't capable of, like, thinking of structure on a book size. So I sent over everything. Like, I was like, all right, here's both blogs, like, the old one and the new one, which is hellostoya.com. So here's both blogs. Here's links to the other pieces.
Because you've written a lot for Vice and the Guardian.
I didn't touch anything from Vice. As much as they, like, milk it, I wrote for them for a year a long time ago. And people do say that, like, I talked about important, useful things, but my writing wasn't, you know, I hadn't worked with the New York Times and been through that process.
There's a line in the book where you talk about embracing capital letters. Like, you talk about that being this moment where you take writing seriously because I accept punctuation.
Yeah, like, punctuation is a thing that, like, people do. I should look into that.
I have evolved. I'm a writer now.
So I just sent everything over, and the editor was like, okay, do we want to do these in order or out of order? And it was, like, out of order with timestamps. Mm. And she made it into something that feels like you're going through a book.
She did a really good job. I couldn't, because it felt like things were thematically, like, the book feels like a series of Venn diagrams. So things overlap with each other, and the next thing overlaps with the next, but maybe two stories apart, they're not related. Two chapters apart, they're not related, but they were related how you got there, which I felt really nice. It was like, there were themes, and we're going to delve a little deeper into this theme, but that theme's going to evolve us into another theme.
Okay.
So I didn't know if that was...
The thing we touched on here gets delved into the next one.
In there, but maybe that skews us off into different directions and stuff.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was the things I found quite interesting was, like, when you bring in something from outside the blog, your style may have to change a little. So when you're doing the Hustler talk... Obviously, I'm seeing that without pictures. I'm assuming that went out with the pictures you're taking on the journey. Which was sound... The cats were my favorite bit. I shouldn't say that. But just...
I felt so bad for them, but it was also, like, once I got them home and they were safe and, like, back to normal, it was like, guys, you went through the stages of protest.
How many days' journey was that?
It was, like, 5 or 6.
So they're... So this is you moving, for people who don't know, this is you moving back from LA to here.
Yeah.
Basically.
My roommate, Steve Prue, who's a photographer, he convinced a magazine to take, like, a photo spread and a travel diary.
Mm.
And then the magazine folded, and then we ended up placing it with Hustler, like, years later. But Steve comes to me and he's like, all right, I found a buyer for the road trip photos. And I'm like, great. And he's like, and they want the essay. And I'm like, I don't remember the, God damn it. And I happen to have, like, an old notes file because I was taking notes as we were going. And I'm like, okay, I got this.
I don't ever want to delve into my notes on my phone. I, like, see some of the first sentence because it shows me my first sentence. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to know where that goes. I can tell by the tone of those four words, I can see, no, you. Although I find things where I'm really bad at naming songs. And because I write, these days, I just write electronic music that has meaning to me, but doesn't have a narrative, doesn't have hooks and things. So I just write down titles that I like.
Okay.
But the titles file just reads like the most pretentious, like, properly. But there'll be one or two that make a good... I did a soundtrack for this really small text adventure called Subsurface Circular. And all the names... The game's about AI.
Mm-hmm.
But all the names are just related to... Weizenbaum, the... computery man, that's what I'm going to call him. He made a computer-based counselor, did the Rogerian therapy. So it just asks you questions.
Oh, wow.
So the song I named after that was Eliza, which is what he named his thing. You can still get hold of his Eliza online, but it's really like just like the 60s idea of what a computer could do.
Okay.
But like, or one of the songs is named after the serial number of a robot in a sitcom I liked. And it was like, for me, I was like, yeah, that's good.
Nice.
And then I'm getting messages, why did you call that 2X4A3? Oh, I thought I was being clever. I was being clever, but now I have to explain it. It doesn't sound clever.
You just have to be like, it's a me joke. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's for me. It's not for you guys. I derailed this again. So, Zero Spaces.
Yes.
Before we get to Zero, we're going to get there bit by a short path. You, obviously, your first big deal in porn was a deal with Digital Playground.
Yes.
So, like, major record label type.
Yes.
Big productions.
Very apt comparison, actually.
So,
big productions, also a 360 deal.
Oh, they were getting merch and...
They were very controlling about creative work produced by me outside the brand Stoya. I had to get permission to do really anything creative. They didn't really... Like, I kind of had to, like, fight them with the writing stuff and the photo shoots.
Because they're like, trying to cultivate an image of...
Yeah, every once in a while, like, a fashion person would be interested in me. And fashion photo shoots are fun. And I would have to go and, like, ask, like, hey, this person wants to put me in this magazine. Can I do this?
Because you can pose as well. But you can pose in the... more fashion sense than versus the boudoir sense.
Yeah.
You're strong, your chin's always up. Like, someone who's good at fashion editorial particularly cannot help but keep their chin up. It's something that, weirdly, I teach photography once a month. And, it's the thing that we're constantly talking about. We're trying to, because the people who come on our courses generally are men with money.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot a lot of boudoir.
Yeah.
So trying to get them, like, if you're standing up while you're taking this photo, you're doing it wrong. Like, I want you on your knees looking up at her, giving her all the power, you know. And obviously if you're on a 50mm lens, sorry, I know. We're going to get that photographer on in a couple of weeks. It'll be fine. If you're shooting on a 50mm lens, you're getting that little bit of elongation as well. So you're just giving all the power to the woman in the frame. And that's just always, for me personally, that's always way more attractive than looking down on someone who's looking demure. I don't know why, but you do that. And because you're slim, you can do angular really well.
I read, like, people are usually surprised at how short I am. I'm not actually short.
at the door,
I'm
5'6". Really?
Like, I'm like a normal woman height.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, I expected like 5'8".
Yeah. But I suppose we, because of the way the media is, the online is, what our idea of typical is changed dramatically from what it actually is.
Like,
the average woman is 5'6", but we're at that point where... What, you're not wearing heels?
I feel like the average woman is like 5'4", 5'5".
Really?
Maybe American?
Maybe.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like I'm actually a little tall, but...
You tell yourself that.
Yeah, I do.
Whatever gets you through the day. Oh, no, I'm above average. I had a friend, we're going to talk about penises, but I had a friend who, he was talking about penis size, and it was out of... He was a little bit tipsy. He would never talk about any form of sex with another man any other time. And he was like, oh, no, I heard the average was like 5 3/4" or something. So, and I'm bang on 6". So. And he was like, that quarter of an inch is really making a difference, you know. But he had to feel like, no, I'm above average.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. But it felt really odd.
So digital, and then like... With, like, acting stuff, like, again, like, they had a brand, and they didn't really understand what I was developing into.
Because you were kind of old, like, for the Razor Dolls stuff you were doing before, like, coloured hair and...
Razor Dolls, the God Girls, God's Girls. Oddly, like, I didn't have any visible tattoos, so it was like, why am I so... But at the time, it was considered odd... to be not tan. Like, that was an outlier. And of course, now, like, I've seen more than one black female performer with some kind of, like, the one specifically I'm thinking of, she has, it's either small dreads or braids, but, like, it's her hair. It's a natural for her style. And that's allowed.
Yeah.
Like, she gets plenty of work. Anna Fox has numerous looks. I think she buys all her hair, if I understand correctly. I hope that's true. I really, really hope that's true.
Having I hope she doesn't steal all her hair.
But, like,
she
shows up sometimes with, like, the big afro or whatever. So there's a lot more room for diversity in mainstream porn than there was when I started.
Yeah.
Because I was weird for being pale. Like, this is, like, guys, it's, like, the 2000s. What are we doing?
I remember, obviously, I came up with porn magazines and, like, shared pirated videos. Sorry, porn industry. But actual VHSs, you know, vintage. But I distinctly remember this issue of International Club being, like, an alt girl special. Mm-hmm. And it was a big thing because International Club had always been very glam.
Very.
But their version of alt girl was like, oh, we'll just give a glam girl a skateboard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there was one girl who had a pixie cut, and that was like, oh my god, she's so different. It's like, we were in a good place.
Like, okay.
Like, if porn can be more diverse, then it hopefully gives a more diverse message.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but also thanks to the internet, like, you know, most of the magazines are dead.
Yeah.
And,
But, so you went from that controlled environment to being independent.
First they gave me a little more freedom and then they were purchased by what was called Man Win at the time.
Which is such an apt name.
That name, and, like, I've heard a podcast where the guy who was in charge of the company at the time is like, I don't know, I'm German. I had no idea that this would be upsetting to the women in the valley in America.
Just ask someone.
And
then,
I'm like, I'm just not sure I believe that. 'Cause I'm like, you have a wife. I've met your wife. She seems pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have run this past your wife. But also maybe it's unfair to expect the wives to pick up the, like, slack there.
Job.
So they really changed the culture drastically. And I was like, you know what? It's time to put my money where my mouth is and see if the way that I think things should be done is functional. And so I co-founded a company called Trenchcoat X with Caden Cross. I did sign an NDA, so I can't go into that time period very deeply. But as of December 31st, 2016, it was entirely hers.
Yeah.
I hear from people sometimes.
That was more curated smart. That was.
Was that
the tagline?
That was the tagline, was curated smart. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that was kind of interesting that I'm still sort of attached to is the squicks and squeeze system, because people seem to like it so much.
So for people who don't know, what is squicks and squeeze?
So it was a, sorry, I'm just, I'll deal with that later.
You're not important enough. Sorry.
No, it's quite important. It's the owner of Fleshlight, but
I'm
not going to, like, pause
and
it's,
go outside. And
it's better to
Okay. Yeah. But we'll edit that bit out.
Okay.
Just so if they listen in, they don't. Oh, the bitch.
Just, sorry, Steve. I was doing a podcast. I was about to bring up the fact that my vulva in a tube with cool bits on the inside to rub your penis against is available at fleshlight.com.
Is it /Stoya?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Fleshlight.com/Stoya. You can have any of my holes. They have a much better attitude than I do, I promise.
Also, if you want to hear a good story about Stoya's Fleshlight, listen to the Guys We Fucked podcast.
Oh my god.
I'm not going to spoil it here, but I could not help but laugh. It was just one of those, like, and I fingered a butthole.
Oh my god. This is one of the oddest moments in my life. The person that Christina Hutchins and I have in common, his name's Stephen Penta, he has this thing, he calls it, so my legal name is Jessica, he calls it Jessica's Rule. if things can get coincidentally weirder, they will get coincidentally weirder. And I'm like, yeah, this is my life. Like, your next girlfriend made a whole podcast because she calls it femasculated by the specter of Stoya. And like, he tried at one point, he was like, I think it might help if you two met and she could see what a spaz you are. And I'm like, I mean, you're correct. I'm a spaz. I'm going to put my offendedness in the corner and like deal with this. So we actually ended up doing a podcast episode years later where they revealed that I'm the porn star they've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had like a chat about like just like how weird.
It felt like a comfortable chat as well, thankfully. Like I can imagine how it would have been. Super awkward.
In their book, they called me the Mother Teresa of porn. I don't know if Christina knows that that's not really a compliment. Like, Mother Teresa was the worst, but I think I understand what she was trying to say.
But so charitable.
Was she really, though?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I feel that was the problem, was, like, she was all this charity stuff, and then she died, and we found out that, like...
She was... I remember... So we, obviously, in the UK... There was loads of people who just didn't realise Mother Teresa had died because Di died within such a close thing. So obviously Princess Di being just more clicks, really. In a sense, her death was more clickbaity than,
than
Mother Teresa's. So hers took precedent. Where were we? We got distracted again.
We were, this was Digital Playground, purchased by Manwin. Trench Codex, Kane, the Squicks and the Squeeze.
The Squicks and the Squeeze, yeah. So what were they?
So first, we were like, we're going to need a way to organize the content. And then I was talking to the programmer, and I'm like, I like having a squick filter. And he's like, how about we add a positive function as well?
Yeah.
And I'm like, brilliant. So it became squicks and squeeze. And people could go and say, ABC squicks me out. And then you had the option to be warned about those things if they're in a video you're looking at.
Yeah.
Or to have videos that contain them hidden entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in theory, a person who knows me could have gone to the website and said, I don't want to see Stoya.
Yeah.
And had a perfectly Stoya-free experience, which you can't get on the tubes. Mm. So if you're, say, a family member and you want to watch porn... You might run into something that's like gonna throw you out of the moment. And it got some really interesting feedback. Tagging the videos was a huge pain in the ass.
Because you did that yourself for the longest period.
You were having to
watch everything and go through and
But
also the tags weren't the sort of blunt MILF teen bullshit.
Yeah, no, it was like sometimes like ephemeral things.
Yeah.
And like a lot of, you know, this particular act happening, like spanking, ass slapping, what's the difference? Every time we would add like a new set of tags, you'd have to go back across the whole catalog.
And redo.
So it wasn't the most functional system at scale.
Mm.
But I know Crash Pad series has been asking questions about the Squick Squeeze system, so it may be seeing a return in a different form, which would be really cool, because I'd like it to catch on, like, across the board, you know?
I would like it to catch on across the board, i.e. across everything we search, not just pornography, just so we can get that.
I would like to be able to have a Trump-free day sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to be able to tell my browser, look, I don't want to see anything about Trump today. I've had enough. And, like, go and look at the rest of the news and, like...
It would be nice to be able to just curate your own experience and not have to deal on a vulnerable day. Like, these days, I open Twitter and my first tweet of the day will be me being angry. And it's like, well, if I'd been able to curate my experience a little more, you know, I can't control what somebody retweets into my feed.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a friend who's a dominatrix and I have to have her muted pretty much all times. Although she's, like, very political and I really like her stuff.
Is there still a way to mute retweets?
So, if you mute the person's name, so I tend to just mute their short name.
Okay.
So obviously that word would be seen in the retweet, so you wouldn't see it. Mm-hmm. Rather than muting the person as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously part of her work is selling her job. And so I just don't want to see mangled testicles at 9 a.m. I'm just having my first cigarette of the day. And they're in some sort of truss, and they're not looking happy about it. It's
That's not how I want to start my morning.
I'm good. Yeah. But yeah, if we could do that. But the squicks and squeeze thing, definitely, I could see how it could be really beneficial as well. Because you can curate what you're seeing, but by your choice rather than by an algorithmic thing. And that's something that I think we could benefit with across everything, being able to find the nuance. By finding the nuance, we can find more things to love, rather than what happens on something like Spotify. We find a lot of stuff, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we find a lot of like average bagels on Spotify, but we rarely find that, you know, that sweet pastrami, goodness, you know. I've not eaten meat in like 2 months, and I'm just all I talk about everything is, brisket.
I go through phases with my period. Like, I'm ovulating right now, so dairy's fine. Like, dairy is appealing.
So dairy's in.
Like, next week, I'll be like, God, I want red meat.
Mm.
And then the week after my period, I'm like, I'm like basically vegan temporarily.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
I suppose what your body's craving is what it's requiring.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting rid of a chunk of iron, so you might as well put some back in.
I guess. I don't know if it's that one-to-one, but it's, you know, whatever my body's telling me it wants. I'm like, all right, let's do that.
Or it could be
except
like
cake. I don't listen to it when it wants cake.
Ever?
I try not to.
It's hard in New York as well. They're like
delicious baked goods everywhere.
So I live in a very average town, and I live in the shit bit. So like my options of a cake are pretty much like 2-day-old Danish from a good coffee place. They make great coffee, but so it's fine. I can just go in there and I can look at them looking a little limp and think, I don't need that right now. But yeah, if I lived here, I said we're staying in East Village, so
okay.
I'd be 300 pounds within, I reckon I could get to 300 pounds in 6 months.
Oh gosh.
I reckon I could do it in this city. And it's cheap. Even the posh places that like artisanal and that, they're still super cheap.
Yeah.
Probably not in context, but. So zero spaces.
Yes.
But I'm really good at this.
Well, we're going in loops.
We are. So zero spaces to me is in, obviously it's a zine in a sense. It's like a old school punk fanzine, but for sex. And you've got your articles and you've got sex. I've only seen Zero Spaces one, cause I'm cheap. But then you've got like a photo shoot, an Instax shoot you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's obviously sex scenes. But what I liked about it was we touched on the magazines dying. There is something of what I remember from seeing Playboys when I was 15.
Yeah.
Like, you had the articles, but instead of Playboys articles being essentially like, this hi-fi is really good, which they did, yours of, you're going to talk to people about sex or to have people talk who have an interesting perspective on that.
So the first issue, I went to Luna Malbro, and I was like, imagine a world where Anna Fox gets the cover of Time instead of Mark Zuckerberg. Like, imagine a world where we're so inclusive and so okay with sexuality that we're like, yeah, Anna Fox needs to be on the cover of one of the most widely read magazines. Now, we're not widely read at all, but in that world, who's the big profile? And she goes away and she thinks, and she comes back with Kayan Dorisho, who's this amazing trans woman activist, like such an activist, so smart. She did a cookbook memoir. Mm-hmm. I have it on good authority that her cooking is delicious. And so like that was the big piece for the first issue. And it's, you know, there's still Tits and Sass. Spread magazine was around for a number of years, but they were more for sex workers.
Yeah.
And this is more for, like, the whole world that's above the age of 18.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, it skews towards people who identify as, like, sapiosexual or are a little more intellectual in their day-to-day.
Yeah.
But it's really, like, it's meant to be, like, open for anyone.
Well, yeah, it's the, this cough will not go today.
Would you like some water?
Oh, no, no, I'll just keep coughing. And it's good. It's nice for the editing as well.
Okay.
It, so what? Distraction. I'm not going to explain how I get rid of the coughs. I'm looking at the mic, listeners. So that idea of you're not trying to force intellect into sex, though. This is this thing that, like, I hear people talk about. Like, when we talk about feminism and porn, when we talk about sex in actual detail,
mm-hmm.
people often react like you're trying to force this intellectual process in it. Yet, no, it is an intellectual process. Like, what we like has come through a process of our mind. It's not just something we instantly wake up one day and it's like, oh, I like this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we've got there by thought. Like, I like structured shirts. I don't know why, always do. Like, it's just a thing I like to see. But that's come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that might be have come from media I've read or, you know, and that's an intellectual process. And I don't know, for me, actually talking about sex naturally is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
It strips away some of the guilt. It strips away some of the, oh, this is some shameful act. Like, okay, but it's not, because every hand you shake, most hands you shake in life have at some point had a dick in them.
Yes.
You know, like this is, it's one of the, it's no different to food to me. Like, if we could get to a point where people were as comfortable talking about sex as we were about food, then maybe we can stop worrying about sex and talk about something else.
I'm going to be smug for a second.
Go on.
So, Zero Spaces has the online component that also includes traditional porn sometimes, or, like,
yeah.
You know, pretty close to traditional porn. And there's the literature book club, the sex literature book club, and there's the advice column where I'm, like, half the answers boil down to you're going to have to talk with your partner
about
this.
You basically becoming the sexy Dr. Phil. Not to say Dr. Phil's not sexy, but...
Yeah, Dr. Phil's not sexy at all. I don't like him at all. We're going to pretend you didn't say that.
He does look like a penis.
I'm trying to be the sexy Oprah. So it all contributes to trying to foster more open discussion around sex and more actual thought about sex and the porn we're consuming and, like, what is porn? And then the, like, low-key, I don't know why I'm being so open about this. I'm fine being open about it. But the, like, heading towards social work life track is like another, like, the aim is to see how I feel working with clients, and if that seems appealing, then go get the, like, million years of education and do sex therapy.
Yeah,
because I'm seeing, you know, like, okay, like, you have people who are struggling with things sexually and they write into the advice column, and sometimes the answer is, oh, you need to see a sex therapist.
Yeah.
And there are plenty. Like, we've got some pretty cool sex doctors in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe I'd like to see about higher education in that. Like, maybe I'd like it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's worth investigating.
Well, it seems like you investigate a lot anyway. It seems like you're willing to put your brain into things.
Yeah.
Your writing clearly shows that. But I don't know. I think the more barriers we can tear down, the better the world gets.
Yeah.
Because what happens, we pull down one barrier and we find another barrier behind it. Yeah. But at least once that first one's down, we can start working on the next one. And it's slow going, but, you know. There's a couple of other things. Have you got time?
I do.
You sure? Yeah, because
sure.
There's, like, loads that I haven't talked about.
I have another podcast at 4.
Another podcast at 4. So, guys, this is going to be a 3-hour special here.
Two parts.
Yeah, yeah. I've not done a two-parter yet. I just let them go to like 2 hours, okay. And it's fine. I don't think they listen past 50 minutes anyway. I think they've fallen asleep by now. We should start talking a bit softer. We don't want to wake them up.
Oh, yes. How's your sleepy hedgehog?
That's a thing? Hey, what a way to end. Find out what a sleepy hedgehog is next week. I feel like there's probably better cliffhangers there that are more likely to bring you back. But that's the point. I didn't want to just cut Stoyer off halfway through a sentence. just to drive clicks. I'm not that guy. I wish I was that guy. I would have a lot more money if I was that guy. But money's not everything. Although, it sometimes feels that way. But yeah, hope you enjoyed that. It was a really good chat. And you've got more of the same coming. Obviously, a little more focused on the acting side of Stoyer. We do get into a bit more about Fleshlights, and I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, hit up Stoyer on Twitter, at Stoyer. Don't forget to check out the blog, hellostoyer.com. Philosophy, Pussycats and Porn is available at all good bookstores. I've got a horrible feeling we might not have said the title in the pod, but that's fine. I've said it twice now. And zerospaces.com. Also, maybe before next week's episode, grab yourself a copy of AI Rising, so you know what we're talking about with the movie. As ever, I hope you enjoyed it. And again, patreon.com/DanielSack if you want to support the pod and you want me to continue creating gold for you. Because this is gold. Come on, just accept it. And yeah, I'll see you in a week's time. Well, I won't see you, but I'll hear you in a week's time for part two. Thank you in advance for spreading the good word. And have a lovely week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.